Blog Talk Radio.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. You've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't stay, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain, when you're up on the mountain. The talk comes so easy when life's at its best. Now it's down in the valley, trials and temptations, that's where you'll face to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong,
You never get enough of that song. I think we're wearing that one out. Amen. Sounds like we're getting to the end of that one. We're wearing it out. We played it so much because he is a god of the valley. It's like he's a god of the mountains. You know, that's what happened in the, but with Joshua. You go in the Old Testament, you read the story about up on the mountaintop, you know, they got beat up and they said, well, we'll, you know, their God was the God of the mountains. We'll beat them up in the valley. And they went down after Israel in the valley and they found out that he's the God of the valley too. Amen. I want to welcome all the listeners tonight. This is Dr. Ventura, Sound Doctrine Broadcast, coming to you live from Imperial Beach, California, where the sun's always shining. Nice weather today, 72 degrees out here. We're really enjoying ourselves. I have with me tonight Brother J.P. Alba. Brother J.P. Alba, he's going to host this program. He's 13 years old. He's a member of the youth group of the Imperial Bible Believers Baptist Church in Imperial Beach. And we want to welcome the listeners around the world. We want to thank you for your prayers. We want to thank you for your concerns. We want to thank you for your emails, your chat box questions, and feel free to call us this evening on 347-945-5416. That's 347-945-5416. And we'd like to pick up where we left off last week. We're teaching a basic discipleship course here, and these are the basic doctrines of Christianity. And sometimes we need to go back and take a look at them. Seems that some of us older Christians, we forget them. Some of us have never been taught them. And some of us just need to be reminded of them. And so without any further ado, we'll have a prayer, and then we'll get to lesson number 7, the local church. Holy Father, we bow down before you, and we thank you, Almighty God, for your mercy, your kindness, and your truth. We ask you tonight that you'd meet with us, no matter where we are in the world, no matter where the listener is, Father God, that you would just touch their hearts tonight, that you would open their spiritual eyes and their spiritual ears and give them wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of you. Bless the speaker tonight and help us, Lord, to bring forth your word. We thank you, Holy Father, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to go into the church, but if you'll go with me to a particular scripture reading before we begin this Bible study, if you look at Ephesians chapter 5, that's Ephesians chapter 5, and I just have one verse here I want to read. Scripture says that, actually three verses. Look at verse 30. For we are members of his body, talking about Jesus Christ, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one. This is a great mystery. Just like the marriage of a husband and wife that become one in marriage, this is a great mystery. And so the scripture says in verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Amen? Christ and the church. And so Jesus Christ and the church are one. He is the head. We are the body. I'm going to turn this over to Brother JP, and if you'll get us started off, and maybe you could explain to the brethren what's the purpose of the church and your involvement in the local church, brother.
All right, thank you, Brother Peter. All right, so tonight, Lesson 7, the local church. What is my purpose? What is my involvement in a local church? God has established three major institutions on this earth. There's the family, the civil government, and the local church. It is the local church which has been commissioned by God to carry out his purposes in reaching the lost and perfecting the saints. Therefore, God's plan for a Christian will always be fulfilled when connected with the local church.
Amen. Amen.
The purpose of this lesson today is to impress you the central role which the church should play in your everyday life. First thing, what is a local church, you may ask? Point one, it is not a building. If you go to John 4:24, it says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
Second point. Next, go to 1 Corinthians 6:19. I'll say it one more time. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? So again, I come back. What church? It is not a denominational group of congregations.
That's right. It's definitely not a denomination. You're right, brother.
A local church is a body of men and women who have been saved and called by God to serve in a specific geographical area. The church is the body of Christ, the saved multitudes from every nation. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, Paul, in writing to saved people, states clearly, "Ye are the body of Christ." Paul compares the church body to the human body in this passage. If you go to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 14 through 27, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 14 through 27, it says, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we seem to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have been more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular."
Amen, amen.
Now I'm going to give you a couple of key points on this one, because that was very long. So, point A, each member has a different function in the church. Find that in verses 14 through 20. Key point B, no one member can function alone. You find that in verse 21. Each member's contribution is important. Verses 22 through 24, and a properly functioning body operates as a single unit.
You know, that's funny, brother, that well, it's not funny, but I mean, it's in today's churches we have a problem. And one of the problems in today's churches is that we find that, as you've taught, you know, each member has a different chin and no one member can function alone, and each member's contribution is important. And a properly functioned body operates as a single unit. And oftentimes in the church, you know, the pastor will ask somebody to do something, and they don't want to do it. They'll kick and they'll scream that, you know, that's not what they're called for, that's not what they need to do. And then there's people who are going out there, they're not sent by God, but they just went, and they're in the body of Christ. And what you end up with is, you know, Jesus Christ is the head. And so the body is he's talking in figurative speech as a human body. And if your elbow was connected to your ankle, you'd be a freak. And so if God hasn't put you in that position of an elbow, you shouldn't be an elbow. If God hasn't called you to be the mouth in the church, you shouldn't be preaching. You need to know and find out what God's plan is for your life. And listen to your pastor. That's why you go to church. You listen to the pastor and preach and teach and listen to God. And then as you obey and learn, something's going to happen. But, brother, I have a question for you. What's the function of the local church, brother?
Well, The first organized local church in the Bible was in Jerusalem. If you would go to me, Acts 2, verses 41 through 47, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
Amen.
Now, the believers organized their church for the following purposes. The teaching of the Word of God. Verse 42. Fellowship with other believers. Also found in verse 42. Prayer. Last week's lesson was about prayer. You find that in verse 42. And last one is 42. And in 41, the observance of the two ordinances of the church. Baptism. Verse 41, and the Lord's Supper, verse 42.
Amen. You know, there's actually people out there that believe that there's three ordinances, foot washing. And foot washing is not an ordinance. An ordinance is something that teaches the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what baptism is. You're a type and picture of the death, burial. It's by being submerged in water, you picture the death of Christ, and the resurrection is a new life. And so the problem is that a lot of churches are sprinkling people, and that's not biblical at all. And the second thing is the Lord's Supper, which is what? The shed blood of Jesus and the broken bread, which is the type of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Those are the two ordinances of the church, not foot washing. Foot washing is okay if the pastor or somebody wants to show that they're humble to the rest of the congregation, but it's not an ordinance. It's not an ordinance of the church. But I'd like you to go on, brother, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but so they organized the church for the teaching of the Word of God, for fellowship with other believers, for prayer, observance of the ordinances, and what else, brother?
All right, it's okay. You can interrupt me. I'm just a guest here, but thank you, Brother Peter.
Amen.
All right. Another point, to be a testimony of God's grace and power, verse 43, for mutual assistance and ministry, verses 43 through 45, to reach out into the community, verses 46 through 47, and lastly, to glorify and praise God, verse 47.
Amen. And really, that's number one, right? Really form the church for the glory of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Priority of the local church is to edify. Edify is to build up, teach, and strengthen the saints. If you would go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son and God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. Next question that many people ask is, how do I function in the church body? How do I help around in the church body? I'll tell you. During your Christian life, you should grow through three broad general stages. Stage one, observe and learn. Your first priority should be to submit the teaching of the Word of God to learn to be the man, woman God wants you to be. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Amen.
Now, before this broadcast, me and Brother Peter were talking about yokes. I personally did not know what a yoke is, and he showed me about it. Brother Peter, give me some closure on, give the people some closure. Maybe they don't know what yoke is.
Well, it's not an egg. Amen. It's not an egg. A lot of people think, you know, yoke, it's an egg, and that's okay. An egg does have yolk, and an egg's a type of the Trinity, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you got the shell, the egg, white, and the yellow is a yolk. But the yolk they're talking about here is a yolk that they used to use to plow the fields or to steer a carriage. You have to have two of the same kind in the yoke. On the left side, it's a wooden type of casing where the horse would stick its head in, or the bull, or the oxen would stick his head through, and then you had one on one side and one on the other side. The two holes were connected together by this piece of wood. It's all one piece of wood, and that's ox yoke. And if you go back in the Old Testament, Elijah, I think, was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. So they use more than one yoke. But the point is that you cannot plow with a horse in one side of the yoke and an oxen in the other. They're not going to plow even. And so Jesus says, take my yoke upon me. And if you take the Lord's yoke upon you, he's able to help you. And when you feel tired, he'll help you go. His yoke is easy. You won't have to pull with such a heavy labor, with such a heavy burden. That's really what the Lord is talking about. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Listen, the Lord said, I will give you rest. Take that my yoke upon you. You don't have to pull this load alone. And learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For the Lord says here, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen?
Amen. Stage two.
This is how we function in church, brother?
Yeah.
So number one, we do what?
Number one, stage one, we observe and learn.
Amen.
Stage two, we participate. In time, you will naturally grow to the point where you can begin to serve and take on some basic functions through the already established ministries of our church. The goal of this discipleship course is to get you through the to this level of maturity.
That's right, and I'm glad you pointed that out. Discipleship is discipline, really. It's discipline, discipleship. You know what a ship is? You can't have fellowship unless you have two men in a ship. Two men in a ship is fellowship. You both get along, and discipleship is learning from somebody, learning, disciple, discipline. Discipline.
If you would go to me in Matthew.
Go with you where, brother?
Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. The scripture says, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Next in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Again, James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. It says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Stage three in your function of the church is to lead. As your growth continues, you should reach the point where you could begin to minister others in the same way you have been ministered to. Maybe at one point.
Amen. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah,
discipling another newly saved person. Sure, absolutely. What is Scripture says? What in 2 Timothy?
The Scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2. Scripture says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others so."
Amen.
Three stages can be roughly compared to the stages of physical growth. You have childhood, you have youth, and then you have adult. Be patient. This process takes time.
Amen.
Just be sure to remain faithful to God's established institution, which is the local church.
Amen. Well, let me ask you some basic questions, brother. Okay. Number one, how do I find the particular church? How do I know what's the right church that God wants me to serve in?
Well, that's simple. It's easy. You pray about it. Ask God to show you with which church to associate yourself with. In James 1:5, it says, "If any lack of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him."
Amen. Amen. So, and what's another point, brother?
Another point is, observe the qualities of the particular church and compare them with the biblical requirements of a proper church.
Well, that's good. That's good. So I need to observe the qualities of the church. The church should be a King James Version, King James Bible only church.
Of course.
We know the other Bibles are not correct. I mean, an NIV got 60,000 words less than a King James Version.
Amen.
I'm to avert the qualities, the character of the church, the pastor, the dress of the people, the mannerism, are they preaching and teaching what they said? What else, brother? What's another question I should ask myself?
Another question is there evidence of winning people to Christ?
Good. That's a good point. Is there evidence of winning people to Christ?
Well, I'm going to have you go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 20.
I'm going there, too, so give me a second. Matthew 20.
Matthew chapter 7, verse
20.
Chapter 7, verse 20 in Matthew. And the scripture says, "Wherefore by their fruit ye shall know them."
Wherefore by their fruits. Amen. So what's that mean? By their fruits I'll know. I mean, what's he saying by their fruit? I mean, I guess you and I had a discussion prior to this, but an apple tree produces apples, right? An orange tree produces oranges, lemons, lemons. And so you'll know them by their fruits. If they're supposed to be producing Christian fruits and they're producing apples instead of, if they're producing something other than Christianity, a tree reproduces itself. And so Christians are to reproduce Christians, in other words, souls. But go ahead, brother. What's another verse that's a good verse?
All right. Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Scripture says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved."
Amen. Amen. And so, God does the adding. I mean, we go out, we do this, we call it soul winning, but really, it's soul warning. It's soul warning. We're kind of out there warning souls about, hell's a real place. And if you don't receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you could end up in hell. One of our favorite questions to ask people when JP and I are out and the family and we're in the church and we go down the Imperial Beach to the pier, one of the questions we like to ask people is, if you died right now, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? And most people will tell you no. They're not sure. And they need to be sure. I was speaking to a lady today in Stratford, Connecticut, a Christian sister named Louise. And Louise was telling me that she met a woman who had been in a church and for many, many years. and that during a Bible study she brought up the subject, the lady, that she was afraid she might lose her salvation. And, you know, we studied that as our one of our beginning lessons, eternal security. And so once you're saved, you can't lose your salvation. And these are false doctrines. And so that's all comes part of getting the right church. But we're going to take a break here, Brother JP, for a minute. We can give anybody who wants to call a chance to call in. You could reach us at the number is 347-945-5416. That's 347-945-5416. And you can press 1 to get in. And we're going to carry this lesson, a few more points, then we'll open this up for a little discussion. We'll talk a little bit about the local churches and some of the things that are going on and some of the things we need to know as Christians. And let's see what the Lord would do. I know there's brothers out there this evening. Brother Andrew, I hope is out there, and I hope that after we finish this lesson, you'll give us a call, Brother Andrew. We'd love to speak with you. And Brother Joseph in North Carolina, and we'd love to speak with you also. And JP and I are here tonight, and we'd love to hear from you. So, brother, the subject what I've interrupted you for were our basic questions. We said that, you know, how do we find a particular church? Well, we pray about it. You know, you ask God to lead you to the truth and to lead you to a place where you're going to be able to learn the Bible, not learn something that sounds like the Bible.
Amen.
All right? And then you took us to James 1:5, and then also you told us that we need to observe the qualities of that church. We need to compare them, the biblical requirements of a proper church, right? And number one is, if it's really a biblically based church, number one, they're going to show evidence of winning people to Christ. They're going to have a desire to be a witness for Jesus Christ, to tell people that you could lose your soul, that you could go to hell. But here's another. Give us some other examples, brother. What's another Amen. Example that
All right.
we should be looking for in a church? What questions should we be asking ourselves?
The questions are, does the church believe and teach the Bible as the Word of God and the infallible guide for
life? Yeah. Amen. Infallible. That's right. Good word.
Sorry, good word, Peter. And the infallible guide for life. In Titus chapter 1, verse 9, again, Titus 1, verse 9, Scripture says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers.
Amen. Amen. I love that word fast. See where it says holding fast? You know, when you nail something down with a nail, you fasten it. To hold something fast doesn't mean to grab it quick. It means to hold it so it doesn't move. He says that you're to hold fast the faithful word as he has been taught. Well, as a sound doctrine Bible teacher teaches and as the Holy Spirit teaches, then you hold that fast. And then what are you going to be able to do? That you'll be able, you know, through sound doctrine to do what? Exhort. You'll be able to lead. You'll be able to help people to move forward in their Christian walk and to exhort and to convince the gainsayers, you know, people who tell you there isn't any God and all that, you know, nonsense. You know, remember Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. He's not a fool because he's stupid. Well, maybe. But he's a fool because he doesn't believe there's a God. Amen?
Amen.
What's another example, brother?
Another question you can ask yourself, Brother Peter, is the congregation encouraged to read and study the Bible as much as the leadership?
Good point.
Now, this is a good point.
Do you have a verse on that,
brother?
I agree
with you. Yeah, but I just want to say something.
Sure.
You need to have, it's good to have, study the Bible as much as the leadership, because then you would have an unbalanced church. You need to have a balanced church to have good congregation and have a good striving church.
Hold on a second.
You have a call. You have a call.
Is there a caller calling in, Nathan?
Yeah.
Amen.
Have a caller?
Yeah.
You want to put him through, brother? Hello?
I'm here.
You're talking to Dr. Ventura. Who am I speaking to?
You're speaking to Scott. You're silent.
Hold on one second. Let me put you in.
Where's my brother and son?
How are you, my brother?
Good. How are you?
Are you getting anything from the lesson? Did you have a question?
It's great to hear my son up there.
Oh, you're breaking up pretty bad, brother.
I said it's great to hear my son.
Amen. Amen. Well, your brother JP's growing, and it's good to have the youth. You know, we say the older men of the church, the gray hair, is supposed to be the wisdom, and the youth of our church is the strength. And, you know, this is our calling. This is our generation. This is our time. And you know, you always hear people say that they always tell us, you know, back in the day, hey, listen, my brother, you know, right, today is the day. Isn't that right, JP? Today is the day.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, I love you, son.
Love you, too.
Amen. Thank you for the encouragement, brother. Thank you. Amen.
All right. Well, we'll pick this back up. So we thank you, Scott, bro, for that call and for encouraging your son, JP, Scott's son. And recently, Scott's been got the calling on his life to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's preparing his heart. He's reading his word. He's studying, and you know he's going to go out there and do some preaching. And so you have your ears ready. This Scott Ruff and his family, JP, they're going out there and they're going to be doing some preaching. And we'll certainly have them on the program, no doubt about that. We want to go back now and let's catch back up where we were here. We're talking about the function of the church. We're talking about understanding your place in the church. We're talking about leadership in the church. And we were asking some questions about where do we go in the church? What do we do? You know? And so Brother had a scripture here for us. The question is you know, how do we know we're in the right church? And JP said that, does the congregation encourage you? Are they encouraged to read and study the Bible as much as leadership? And he had a verse for us. What was the verse, brother?
Verse is Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 12. And the scripture says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither into the synagogue of the Jews, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few."
Amen, amen. So they were Bereans. And you know what it said? What did it say about those Bereans, brother? What did they do?
The Bereans, they searched for the scriptures daily.
Amen. They searched the scriptures daily. They checked their Bible. They compared scripture with scripture. They didn't go and run to a commentary, and they didn't go and run, you know, to another Bible and compare Bible to Bible. It says they compared scripture with scripture. What's another question that people should ask themselves?
Another question that people should ask themselves is, does the church minister to the needs of people?
Well, that's an important one.
In Acts chapter 6, verse 1, scripture says, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration."
Yeah, that was a fault in that Jerusalem church, is that, you know, there was a murmuring. It caused a dissension. It caused an argument. It caused bad feelings that, you know, everybody wasn't being ministered to equally. And you have to be careful. You want to make sure that, you know, you don't join a church and there's a clique in it. You're just a family or just one set of people that are, you know, running it. It can be a family sometimes. It could be a pastor who caters to rich people and not to the rest of the congregation. He favors them. And, you know, that you have to be careful of cliques in the church. I mean, if you find out they're cliqued up, then you know what? You know, search beyond, or pray about it and then search beyond. How about another one? What's another good thing to know about a church? What else should a church do?
One main thing that I think a church should do is a church you should ask yourself, does the church send out and support missionaries? And if you would go to me within Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, scripture says, now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called
Niger,
and Lucius.
Hard to pronounce, huh?
Of course, yeah, there's a lot of
Cyrene, and to help you out, and Menaean. And listen, I've been studying the Bible for many years, and I throw a lot of these names. And if you don't have a pronouncing Bible, you could be really in trouble. The scripture said, now there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius, and of Cyrene, and Menaean, which had been brought up with Herod, the tetrarch, and Saul, as the minister. And now, listen to what he says. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work unto I have called them. Amen? And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So missionaries are important. You're right. So the questions that a person should ask, as Brother JP said, is, you know, how to find a particular church. Number one, you should pray about it. Number two, observe the qualities of character of that church and those members in it, the leadership especially. Do they dress properly? Do they behave properly? Do they talk properly? And I've heard people say, oh, well, we can't afford a suit to go to church. Listen, you stop buying that coffee for 2 days, and for $5 you can find a nice pair of pants at a Salvation Army store. Cut it out. Here's another thing. So you observe the quality. You want to know, is there evidence in your church? Is there evidence in your church of soul winning? If your pastor is not going out soul winning every week and he's leaving it to the people of the church, you need to address that pastor. There's something wrong. He's the leader of the church, and he ought to lead by getting out there and doing some soul winning every week. And you know, R.J. Bruno, Grace and Truth Fellowship Baptist Church out in Gary, Indiana, used to say that you're supposed to win souls 7 days a week, not 1 day a week. 7 days a week you ought to be out there. Here's another thing. Does the church believe and teach the Bible as the Word of God, the infallible Word? In other words, this Word is the Word of God. It is without error. It is without contradiction. Another point JP brought up is the congregation encouraged to read and study their Bible as much as the leadership does? Amen? Because if you have a leader in a church and he's not studying his Bible, he's not reading it, and he's not... and he's leading your church and he's not doing these things and he's not encouraging the congregation, and you need to check that. What's another one, brother, we should ask?
Does the church minister to the needs of the people?
Okay, so that's a good question. Does the church minister to the needs of the people? Not only the needs of the community, we're talking about the church itself. Is the church ministering to the needs? We're called the body of Christ. And listen, you take care of your body, don't you? Right, JP? I mean, you shower, you feed it, you nourish it. You don't hurt your arm and then go slam it up against the wall and say, stupid arm, you know? You don't make a mistake and trip and fall and get up and kick your other leg with your leg saying, stupid leg. Well, we shouldn't do that to each other in the church. We should minister to the needs of each other, and we should support each other. We shouldn't hurt each other. And when one member's hurting, the whole member's hurting. Because why? Because we're the body. If somebody has lost a family member, if somebody suffers harm, we need to pray for them. We need to care for them. We need to visit them if they're at home sick. You would put a Band-Aid on a wound that you have. And then Brother JP talked about missionaries. And I'm glad to say that the Imperial Beach down here, we support missionaries. Recently we had... a brother down here, Lawrence Bowman. He was a missionary to Malawi, Africa. We've had him at our church. This is the second time we've had him at our church, and we've supported him. And we continue to support him. If you don't know anything about Malawi, Africa, you find out. You need to go check it out, because the government there, from what the missionary was teaching us, is that after 30 days, if a parent doesn't claim their child or a child's abandoned, the government just takes them into the jungle and leaves them and lets nature have its way. And so these Christians from the United States of America are going down there to Holy Africa, and they're setting up orphanages, and they're trying to rescue as many of these children. He says now they've been there so long that what's happening is that those children that they've rescued in the previous years are getting out and helping to rescue other children and setting up orphanages and going into all the world and preaching the gospel. And that's what JP's talking about. We need to support missionaries. Amen? Right, JP?
Amen. Well, why shouldn't we support missionaries? It says, just for me, it's just the right thing to do.
Amen. I mean, listen, we have local missionaries, too. We have people that go out into the world and you know, they preach the gospel here, and they go to poor families and poor homes and to the rich, too. That's another thing we got in a bad habit of doing in some of our churches is only going out to minister to people who are like us. We want to minister to somebody like us. And you know, a lady told me the other day that she was actually it was Sister Joanne Woody who hosts the ladies Christian Ladies broadcast, which is going to be this next coming Thursday. They have the third week of every month. And Sister Joanne and Sister Marilyn and sometimes Sister Sherry, and they get out there. But in the broadcast, but recently in a telephone conversation, Sister Joanne, what he was telling me, that she met a very wealthy woman and wanted to tell her about Jesus. And the woman started weeping because she said nobody had ever told her or ever wanted to talk to her about her soul. And it's a misconception that just because you're rich, you don't have to worry about going to hell. Or somebody else will tell you, why don't you be the one to tell them? Right? Amen. I mean, what do you think, JP, about that, you know, soul?
Well, I think it's very important in the Christian life. Like you said, I think it was about a couple weeks ago, my family and Peter, we went out and we handed out tracts. And some of them, you know, it's hard for me because I was new to it. And, you know, I would see, we would walk down the Imperial Beach Pier and we would come and hand them out and we would come back and there would be just tracks on the floor. And it's hard. People can be rude, but, you know, just one person, just soul winning one person can change someone's life, you know?
Amen. That's good, brother. You can change change the course of history. The whole course of history could be changed in somebody's life, and in their world, and in their community. You know, we can't legislate laws, and if we want to change our community, we need to bring the gospel message to people because God changes the heart. You know, I know there's people that use psychologists and allegedly Christian psychology. But the truth of the matter is that Jesus Christ changes a man's heart. And if your heart's changed, your head will change. But if you're only changing a person's heart, head, and you still have a stony heart, well, what good is it? You know, a person needs a heart change, and that begins with Jesus Christ. Amen? What do you think about that? What do you think about a heart change? I mean, we're not, you know, innocent. We're all sinners saved by grace. There's a misconception, right, brother, that, you know, a Christian never sins, he never says the wrong thing, he never eats the wrong thing, he never does the wrong thing, he never goes to the wrong. Listen, we're all sinners saved by grace. And so the more you absorb the Bible, the less sin will be in your life. You know, we have a saying at our church, Brother JP and I, we say that sin will keep you from the Bible or the Bible will keep you from sin. And so finding a good, healthy church is important. But there's one other thing, too. And you have to be willing to submit to the authority of the pastor. And that's one of the things that we're in an age today of rebellion. We rebel against everything. Man wants his own way, and he wants to have it his way. And you know what? And God's marginalized, Christianity's mocked, and it's a shame. But the truth is that the man of God, you go to church to hear the man of God, And you need to submit to that authority that God has put in your life. If God has brought a man of God into your life and you go to the church and you submit to that authority of that pastor, then God's going to reward you for that obedience in your life. That's important. Amen? Do you think that's important, brother?
I think it's very important, Brother Peter.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're about ready to wrap this up. And I was wondering, Brother JP, if you had any final thoughts.
Oh, I want to thank you for having me, Brother Peter. It's been a pleasure coming and guest hosting the show. I'd like to do it again someday.
Amen. Amen. I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more from Brother JP in the future. I'm sure that God has great things in store for his life. And those out there that don't know Brother JP, he comes from a strong family. They're all faithful brethren in Christ Jesus, struggling like every other Christian in the world. Amen. Where would you like to see yourself in, 5 years in the church, JP? Even 3 years.
I would really like to see myself every Tuesday or Sunday just coming up there and preaching.
Hey, what do you think about what hinders? What do you think hinders kids from coming to church today?
What's hindering?
Yeah, what causes kids not to want to go to church?
Oh, well, I think personally, as a kid or as a teenager, hindering kids not wanting to come to church is that they're too young to develop. What is God? They obviously know what God is, and they go to church because mom wants me to go to church. Mom likes God, so I'm going to like God. They're going to stick to what their parents like. So, but they don't like going to church. Mainly, in my point of view as a kid, is they don't like just to sit there because they don't know. They're not getting the message that other people are getting. But there's going to be one time that they're just going to be sitting there, and they're going to hear something that's going to relate to them. Like one time I was sitting in Bible study, and Brother Peter was talking about video games and how leaving a TV on and letting your kids watch TV is like letting the world come into your house as you leave the door open. And I think it's important that preachers can, and the whatever God puts on their mind, it can reach people what they're in whatever their situation in their life might be.
Amen. Amen. That's good, brother. No, that's good. I think you're right. I think a lot of kids are under the impression that church is a place that's boring and that they have to go sit with their mom. And we're saved by faith. Faith cometh by, hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so the more a person is exposed to the word of God, and we train up children. We don't raise children. We raise animals. We train up children, trained to run on a track. And so there's a lack of discipline in homes, and there's a lack of social skills also in our homes today, because most kids come home, and what they do is, they'll do their homework, and then they're on the computer, and they're playing games all day, and they're staying in their house. They're not having any relationship or interaction with other people except through emails or maybe once in a while they go outside, but there's no social skills, no cultural skills being grown. And so what happens is we're isolating our children from the effects of the world. And I know we live in a dangerous world. We're in a perilous times. And I personally, as a preacher, I believe that we are witnessing in this period of time in our life, this information age, we're seeing that life is snowballing and the church is spiritually sleeping. The church doesn't even know what time it is, that we're rushing forward at such a great speed, not only physically and mentally and emotionally, but spiritually. And the world isn't grasping how desperate the times are, that we're on the verge of Jesus Christ's return. And so it's imminent. It could happen today. It could happen tomorrow. I'm not setting dates. It's up to the will of God. But I know one thing. I know that all the signs that are written in Matthew 24, the shadow of those things are falling onto our times. And so, when a shadow falls on you, it's not that you're next to that thing, but you're near it. And so God, Jesus Christ, gave us warnings of what the second coming of Christ would be. And if we're starting to see the shadow of those things falling on us now, then we must know that the rapture is coming close. And so there's an intensity for the Christian church and the youth of the church to get out and reach other young men and other young women, and not to be afraid to stand up and say, hey, I'm a Christian. And people say, well, you know, in your school, you know, if you hand out tracts or you talk to somebody, I don't know how it is in your school, Jake, but in a lot of schools, people tell me, well, you know, people frown upon it. They don't like me. But I know people who go to school. They send their children to school with a Bible every day. They have a Bible in their hand. And people say, what do you got that book for? Well, you know, rec time or, well, you know, I, in case I need to read something. You know, I have some free time. So we don't want our children to appear weird to the world, but the world ought to know that when they see J.P. Alba, there's something different about J.P. Alba. Brother J.P. Alba stands out amongst the worldly children in the sense that, not that he's better, but that he's a child saved by grace. Amen? And they ought to know something about our brother by his dress, by his speech, by his mannerism. So I would ask you, do your neighbors even know that you're a Christian? They ought to by the way you go to church every week. They ought to by the way you dress. They ought to know by the way you speak. They ought to know by the way of your mannerisms. And they ought to know because you should have went over and witnessed to them. Amen? Isn't that right, brother?
Amen, Brother Peter.
Amen. All right, well, it's about 7 o'clock. We're going to have to wrap this up. And so I'm going to let Brother JP pray us out, and we're going to turn this over to Brother Hill. We want to thank you, Brother Nathan, for being there behind the switchboards. And we do have a prayer list of some things we need prayer for. We'd like to have some prayer for Doc Ryan's wife, Lois. And she's could use some prayer, some encouragement, some spiritual strength. We're talking about Doc Bryant's 90 years old, plays the guitar and preaches the gospel like a 20-year-old man. You would be shocked, and they need prayer. And there's many others that I have unspoken prayers for. The Imperial Beach Baptist Church down here, the Bible Believers Baptist Church in Imperial Beach, we're searching for a building, and we're searching for funds to build that building. And so if you would pray about that, that God would bless us there. We would appreciate that. That God would continue to bless Brother JP and all the members of Imperial the Church down here in Imperial Beach and the Imperial Beach community, that they would come to the realization that they can get the Word of God without being watered down. And I thank my wife, Marilyn, who stands behind the scenes all the time and supports me and encourages me. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing to have a wife who stands by you. Brother Scott that called in, that was JP's father, to see a father encouraging his son in the Word of God, and his mother, Angelique, and they have a family, and their family, their children, Aiden and Victoria, and even little Victoria's 2 years old, puts her hands together and prays and knows who Jesus is. You know, I was talking to Aiden, he's 6 years old, and there was a fight at school, and I said, Aiden, what did you do? And he said, well, I told the boy to stop hitting him. And I said, you did? And I said, what did he do? And he hit him again. I said, well, what did you tell him then? He says, I told him that I'm going to have to go to the teacher, and I don't want to, but you're going to have to stop. And he says, Brother Peter, I'm just trying to be a good Christian. Amen? 6 years old, got God consciousness, and that's a good thing, and that's what we need. Like Brother JP says, we need to encourage our children. And so without further ado, I want to thank Brother Raymond for all the work you did around the church. Helped me out personally in some of the personal things I needed to do in my life and some of the DVDs and things. And I'd like to thank Savannah. She prays for us too. And Kitty and Fred plays our music. Brother Joshua came down this week from Lighthouse Baptist Church up in Lemon Grove to visit us and play the keyboard for us. And we want to thank Fred and Kitty's sister and Sister Joan. And there's just so many people. Brother Fred, you know, we have a Christian brother that stands out in the street. He supports a ministry in Mexico where they also have orphanages, and he stands out in the street out there. He's a missionary, and he's on the street every single day in Imperial Beach on the medium of the road selling candy to raise funds every day in the sun. Day after day, he's out there. He has a heart for the Lord. You know, if the Lord's not in it, he's not in it. And, you know, we need to pray for him, for his safety out there. You know, he gets disrespected and treated badly. People misunderstand his purpose. And I just want to thank you. I want to thank the listeners around the world, DL. If you're listening tonight, Brother Joe, Andrew, and Sister Nona, we thank you for all for tuning in. The Lord bless you. And my daughter, Belva, down in Clearwater, Florida, we thank you for your prayers. very much. Hope you're enjoying the books and things, and they really touch in your heart. God's helping you to grow. We're praying for your growth. And Brother JP, if you pray us out, we'd be grateful.
Oh, good. Dear Lord, we want to thank you for all that you have done for us, Lord. We want to thank you for tonight's broadcast. We want to thank you for the message that you're giving these people. We pray that next week, that many people will come and listen. We pray that our church builds. We pray that it fills, and one day we will get a building and plant a church and even fill up that church, Lord.
Amen.
Pray that every week that Brother Peter gets the good message from the Lord and gives it to the people. We pray that for anyone that is out there listening, we pray for the people in the world that don't have as much as we do, Lord. We pray tonight if they don't have food or if they don't have shelter, please, Lord, find them something, Lord. Give them a sign. I want to thank Peter for having me tonight, Lord. I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity that you have given me to show the people that I'm a teenager of God and I love to serve you, Lord. I want to thank you again for all that you have done. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. And remember now, if you didn't know Jesus Christ, we give you that opportunity. Take a couple moments here. You can come forward, and ask the Lord, turn, repent of your sins. If you're tired of that sinful life, just, give it up. Give it up and come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, I'm tired of this sinful life. I repent. I'm changing my mind. I'm changing my heart. And I desire you, Lord, and I receive you, Lord. I accept you, Lord. I believe you died for me on that cross at Calvary. You were buried, and the third day you rose, and you're at the right hand of the Father now. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And if you prayed that prayer, we'd love to hear you. You can reach us at 347-945-5416, or you can go to Nathan on the Spot. You can email us there, or you can email me at ventura.peter77@gmail.com. That's ventura.peter77@gmail.com. We thank you for listening to the Sound Doctrine broadcast this evening. We thank you, Nathan, for having us as a guest on your program. We thank you, J.P. Alba. The Lord bless you. Until next week, when we study the will of God, knees on the floor, nose in the Bible, eyes on Jesus. Amen.
Sometimes you feel